Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
We are live.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and it might be 7 a.m. here on the West Coast, but it's never too early when Brett LaBelle decides that he wants to come on your podcast. So Brett is our special guest this week for our Survivor Predictions and Power Rankings. Brett, thank you so much for coming on. Taking time out of your vacation that you're on right now to come on and do a quick podcast with us here. Is it Brett? Are you there? Brett, can you hear us?
I cannot hear a single thing. It's coming in and out. But it sounded like something really nice. It sounded like you said something nice, and thank you very much.
It, of course, it was very nice. It was very, very nice. We wouldn't say anything.
Yeah, only good things here.
Oh, man. So, Brett, you're coming in. I guess we're coming in and out on you a little bit, but I actually got to meet Brett at the finale party the last time.
Yes.
And Brett.
Oh, shit face. Yeah.
No, not you. No, not at all.
That was a good time. I went out with my bitch took me out, Chris Hammonds, and we had a few drinks before we got to the after party, and it was a really good time. But oh my god, by the time I saw you guys, I was well on my way.
Oh yeah, and you were excited to see everybody. You were telling us about the podcast and how you still listen to it, and you were telling us stories from behind the scenes, and it was fantastic. It was really great. Chris was I lost you for a second there, but Chris wasn't nearly as beat up as you were, so just gotta say.
Well, you know what, he's a lot bigger than me, you know what I mean? Yes.
so we're gonna do our power rankings. The way it stands right now is I have 44, Alexa has 44, and Troyzan brought the Survivor team back from the dead a little bit here to 42, so you guys are only down 2 points. So, Brett, you can put him over the top this week if you really want to.
Well, I'm a little nervous about this. I'm going to do my best. I should definitely be able to do better than Adam Klein, who's probably home in San Francisco right now dreaming of me. but I should do better than Adam. I don't know if I could beat Troyzan. It sounds like he did pretty well, so...
Yeah, and the person who did the best was, or one of the best, was Sunday. She dropped a 12 that brought everybody back a little bit too. So, you know, Sunday knew better than Adam as well.
Yeah, that's my girl. That makes sense, you know.
Exactly. Adam wanted to be first, but he clearly didn't do his research. So
No, he doesn't. He's gotten very lazy since he's won. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Getting too big for his britches over there.
Before we hop into it, Brett, what do you think about the season so far? How are you feeling?
You know, I'm enjoying the season. I think the casting did an excellent job. I like these characters. You know, we're losing amazing people that I'm really enjoyed. You know, I thought that the island itself was going to be a little more exciting. The way Matt Van Wagenen and Jeff Probst were selling it, I got very excited when I was listening to some of the early stuff about what exactly was going to happen. It's like, oh, great, what's going to happen? And nothing really happened. Since I've been watching it, when it goes down.
Sorry, you cut in and out there. I don't know what happened, but it sounded like you're disappointed in Ghost Island more than anything, right?
Yeah. Is there a way we can make is there anything I could do to make a better reception here? Or?
I don't know.
The only thing I can think of is like either get on or off the Wi-Fi, but I don't want you to just like crush your data either.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait a minute. No. I don't worry about my data. So you think it's the Wi-Fi screwing us up?
It might be.
My assumption, but. What do we know?
You back?
Yeah, is that better?
Oh, I mean, right now you're clearer, so we'll see. You were rolling, and then we heard everything you said, and then all of a sudden you got actually into what you thought about Ghost Island, and we knew you're kind of disappointed, yeah. And then it was like...
We were just kind of like smiling and nodding as we heard like the word Ghost and Island here and there.
Well, most people that talk to me smile and nod, so don't worry.
There you go.
All right, so I'm going to go without Wi-Fi and just tell me how it is. Everything's been great. Like I said, the characters have been great. The season for me, I mean, the island itself has been not that good for me because, like, you know, when Matt Van Wagenen and Jeff Probst were selling it in the earlier interviews, I was like, wow, this is going to be really interesting. You know, I mean, I was, you know, interested to see what would be brought back. You know, like seeing James's, you know, big square idol, that was cool. Like that was, but every time everyone goes there, nothing happens. So for me, the island itself right now has been, you know, it's boring. It's lame. I'm not loving it. I do like the cast. However, you know, we still have a lot of gameplay. So who knows? Maybe the island will, you know, I tweeted out that it's the worst character on the show right now.
It probably is.
It's getting the worst edit. Its edit is terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Whoever's editing must hate the island. You know what I mean?
And what Alexa and I were talking about on our last podcast was like, even with that island, James's idol was found not at the island. James's idol was just found on the beach. So you didn't even need Ghost Island for James's idol. It wasn't even there.
Yeah, no, I agree. And something's going to pick up, and I'm hoping it does. It's a great idea. At first, when I heard about the idea, I said, this is ridiculous, right? Then I had, you know, Probst and Matt, you know, all the producers sold it and explained what they were going to do with it. And I was like, wow, this is kind of cool. And now here we are again. And I'm like, okay, that was a great idea. You sold it to me as a great idea, but it's just not coming to fruition, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's going to pick up a little bit more once they get to the individual part of the game. I think I was reading in, I think it was Entertainment Weekly, that they only have X amount of camera crews. And now that there's three different islands, they almost didn't have the time to like introduce us to all three of these tribes and then go to Ghost Island. So hopefully it gets pretty fun in the merge phase, because that's when things like really start to pick up.
I hear you, Alexa, but hire more people. You know what I'm saying? This is Survivor.
Get someone out there.
They're winning the ratings on Wednesday night. Get us another camera crew. Get them out to Ghost Island, and let's pick this thing up.
I'm all down for an extra camera crew.
If you're going to do it, you're going to be in 110%, you know? So let's do it, you know? Let's get more cameras. Let's do this Ghost Island thing if we're going to do it, you know?
I actually think Ghost Island's kind of hurt a little bit with, if it was Exile and people would be looking for idols, but like even in Stephanie Johnson's Dex interview, she was like, I didn't feel the need, or I couldn't, there was no time to look for idols. So she's out there, and like really once she doesn't play the game, it's like, we're going to watch her cook rice. That's really all there is left.
That's the thing. I mean, they go there, there's tons of rice, tons of food, and tons, you know, you got snorkel gear and fishing gear, you go fishing, and all they do is cry. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. It's emotional support island.
The most ridiculous thing. If I got a break from Chris Hammonds and all those people, and all I could do was sit there and eat with a fire by myself, I think I would be doing somersaults. I can't even do a somersault, but I would have figured out how to do one. Because I would have been so ecstatic just to have food and just get away from everything for a day. So I don't understand all the crying. You wouldn't see Brett LaBelle crying out there, I'll tell you that.
Here's the thing, though. I don't know.
With
all the crying we saw in your season, it might actually be Millennials versus Gen X island out there.
Let me tell you something. If Adam Klein or who else or Chris Hammonds went to Ghost Island, there would be so many tears. The island itself would lift up and float away. You know, if Brett LaBelle was there, you wouldn't have to worry about that I would enjoy the alone time for.
You would have been doing gymnastics out there, apparently.
Exactly. I would have turned it into a yoga studio.
Well, I'll tell you what. If they do Ghost Island 2, they need to bring you back because I just want to see you do somersaults. I mean, I don't even care if you do anything else on the show.
Listen, the island itself has to. Let's all just call it what it is. Right now, it's just this is Exile Island with food, right? That's all. Mm-hmm. That's all. Really, all we have right now.
So. Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I think the characters are great. There's a lot of people here I really like. There's a lot of people I didn't like at first that I'm liking now. So to me, that's all a plus. You know what I mean? I'm gonna keep watching. I think everyone's going to keep watching. I think it's really good, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's jump into these power rankings so that we can hear what you think about some of the people. I'll start it off just so that we can get it going. My number one, I have Wendell. And for me, Wendell's just in a great position on that tribe. He got a really great spot on this swap where Laurel liked him from the previous tribe. Chris is ready to work with him again. And I think Seb and Jenna are definitely going to want to work with Wendell over Chris. So I think that the way this shaped up for Wendell is in a great position that if this tribe were to lose, he's set, but I don't see them even losing because like the way that tribe is stacked. I mean, they just have every single athlete that's like out there right now. So I don't see them losing again, especially with a tribe like the Kellen, Desiree, Angela, and Michael one. So Wendell, I think, is a safe number one. I think he's going to make the merge. And once he hits it, he can do some real damage.
Yeah, I mean, I like Wendell. I liked Wendell in the beginning. What scared me about Wendell is he says that he's very competitive and, you know, he has to kind of hold it in. I think he's been doing a good job of that. I don't see him being very critical. Like, I think he was worried he might be and competitive like that. So, yeah, I think his chances are really good. I don't see him going home anytime soon either.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we all have Wendell pretty high up. I got him. I have him at my number two. I actually put Sebastian at number one, which is things I never thought I'd do. But Sebastian and Wendell, I kind of put them as a 1-2 punch just because they're both in a really good position on this tribe. Like you just said, Phil, like Chris came up to Wendell and approached him wanting to work with him, even though Wendell had just been Dominic's buddy for the past, you know, like 2 weeks of this game. And if they do go to tribal council, which I think is super unlikely, Chris is the one that's going home. Like, that just seems to be a huge overall consensus that everyone, original Navidi, original Mololo, just wants Chris out. And when it comes to Sebastian, I don't think Wendell appears as a threat, but Sebastian even more so doesn't seem like a threat. Mm-hmm. And now that we're inches away from this individual game, even though Sebastian's got this whole, like, Aussie lookalike thing going on, I feel like people are really, especially out on the island, just not comparing him that way. They're not seeing him as this huge challenge threat because that's what Chris is for. So Sebastian's my number one. Wendell's my number two, just because they're in a great place on a very, very strong tribe. And there's a clear outcast who would go home before them.
Mm-hmm. And I'll say I have Sebastian at two, too. So just to put a little pressure on Brett here, you know, to get his 1-2 out there right away. I have Sebastian at two as well. I think it's an easy... He's got Jenna in his right-hand pocket. Him and Wendell are never going to go at each other's throats. And Laurel is going to get along, like probably is happy to see Jenna. And I just think it's a definite Chris if they lose. So I think Sebastian is absolutely set to make it through this week.
All right, Brett.
Okay. So I'm not, I'm going to do the best I can here, but. So I think Wendell's great. I think I don't think Sebastian's going anywhere near number two. Just because I think he's going to scare everyone in the individual game. But I think, and this is going to surprise a lot of people, and I'm more going on edits and stuff like that now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I probably shouldn't, but that's how I'm going to have to play this game here. But I have Michael as number one.
And wow. Michael
as number two. And
who was two?
Laurel.
Okay.
I think Laurel's playing an excellent game. She's kind of hiding back there. She's extremely smart. I've actually met Laurel. She was in my casting for Millennials vs. Gen X. I've watched her. I've studied her.
I know everything about her.
Well, no, but I just say I see her personality, right? I never was able to talk to her, but mm-hmm. I could just see a lot of things when I think she's gonna kind of really shine in the next few weeks here. So that's my number one and number two. I do think Wendell. I do see Wendell in the final three. If we have a final three, I'm assuming we're gonna have a final three.
Mm-hmm.
So he would be my third. I do not have Sebastian anywhere near that. But I mean, you could be totally right. I mean, the kid is kind of like a stoner type, you know, bro, and he could really ride that to the end. But, you know, I think he's an excellent swimmer. I think that's going to start to really show. People are going to get really nervous with him. So we'll see.
What's your take on Michael here? Because you put him at number one, which I have him lower, but I do think that he's in a better position this week than he was the previous three. What's your take on Michael? And is he going to be the one out of those group to survive here?
Well, because I didn't give him a shot in the dock when I first mm-hmm. read about him. And I said, 18-year-old kid coming out here, he's going to, and every time he speaks, he goes higher and higher for me, you know, because mm-hmm. I'm just amazed at the stuff that this kid, you know, comes up with and the arguments that he, you know, he's very, very bright. I think he kind of, a lot of people like him, so he's likable when he talks to people. He could easily have gone home, like you said, at least two or three votes. You know what I mean? He was on the chopping block, so and he survived all those. So something's going on there. You know what I mean? Now, mm-hmm. granted, they're probably looking and say, well, you know, he could help us a lot in the challenges and stuff. But I mean, I don't know. Like I think Bradley. I think he. Buffalo Bradley and
that's a great name.
No, I'm serious. I mean, because Bradley should have been gunning for him, right?
Mm-hmm. You know,
and mm-hmm. I personally probably would have gone after Michael first, but so I think him and Bradley kind of might have something going on there. So, you know, we'll see. But I think the kid's playing really well. I think when he speaks, I'm shocked at you know, like it's. I would love to see his finale speech. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, seriously. And nobody's had to overcome more. I mean, you were talking about how we've lost some great people so far. For him to lose Brendan and Stephanie Johnson back-to-back and then have to vote out James, and he had to vote out James last week. Like, he was a part of that, and I think that was proving his loyalty to Kellen and proving to her that the week before when they saved him that he wasn't just blowing smoke. He was. Right. He meant, like, I'm really going to work with you, and I'm really going to be on your guys' side. And he proved that by being like, I'll vote out James. But that makes me think that he's in with – Kellen and Desiree more than we're being led to believe. But I agree with you. Before the season started, I always have like...
He's always on the correct side of the vote, right?
Even yeah.
yeah.
His friends are going home. He's on the correct side of the vote. So mm-hmm. he's doing something. He's reading something right. I think he is in with Kellen and... I think there's more of a... and of course, we're just seeing what they show us. But I'm sure there's more of a little bond there between Bradley and all them than we know about, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I also like I said, I'm also, you know, and whether this is right or wrong, I'm also reading into an edit. Now, the editors have been much better this season of not letting you know what the hell's going on. But I feel like he's getting a pretty good edit. And I think we're going to see him for a little while on the show, you know. So,
yeah. My number three, I actually have Kellen, who's on that tribe. I don't think that Desiree ever votes for Kellen. So that's why I have Kellen at number three. If they lose their next challenge, they're probably assuming Emerge is coming. So it's not like Angela and Michael and Desiree are going to be like, let's keep strength. Let's get rid of Kellen. Plus, Kellen's been killing it at the puzzles. So there's no reason to get rid of somebody who can do puzzles. So I think Kellen is in, you know, she's the leader over there. She's the one who's driving where the vote is going. At least mm-hmm. that's, you know, what we're being told. She was Bradley's right hand. And now she's the leader of this tribe. And they're not going to force a tie. And I actually think, like we were just saying, Michael's probably going to stick with her, and they probably just go after Angela, who's more of the outcast there. If they really did want to get rid of strength, they just get rid of Michael. But I don't really see any way Kellen goes. And I think Kellen's meant to go like super deep in this game. I'm thinking like final five at least at this point.
Yeah, you know, I have you have her. Where do you have her?
Three.
Is that your number three, Phil?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have her at seven. I like Kellen. I think that as the numbers dwindle, her people are going to see. I think she's running a lot more here than you're seeing. I think she's going to do well, but I just think that I think someone's going to gun for her soon. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's kind of, I think she's the leader of that side. I mean, Bradley's made to look like it, but I doubt that that's what's really going on, you know?
Yeah. I just think with the way that it's shaped up right now, that Bradley will be like the figurehead that goes once the merge comes, and Kellen will always be able to hide behind Bradley, which is what's going to help her in the end.
Yeah. Well, I definitely think Bradley's days are numbered here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, he's, you know, the biggest mistake he made was complaining when in the first swap. You know what I mean? It's like, just shut up. Nobody cares, you know. And I like if you ever meet him, he's not getting portrayed as he's a really nice guy. But like you, the last thing you ever do out there is complain ever.
Yeah.
About anything. I mean, everyone's miserable at different times, but you just try to keep it in, you know. So I thought, you know, there's definitely in the back of people's mind, it's like, let's get rid of this kid, you know.
Yeah. And it looks like they're trying to blow up on him this week. So, you know,
yeah,
at least from the preview.
Yeah, this could be his week because I have him very low. So.
Yeah, exactly. Alexa, who do you have at three?
So I'm not to jump the gun. I'm actually going to go down to five. Because my top five, I am putting all of my Easter eggs in this Yanua basket. I just do not understand in any way how they could lose a challenge. And I really think there's only like one vote left until the merge. So I go Sebastian 1, Wendell 2. I go Jenna 3, Laurel number 4, and Chris at my number 5 in my power rankings, which is absolutely absurd. But yeah.
Completely absurd.
It is absolutely, I have lost my marbles.
I give you credit to have the guts to say that.
Thank you, Chris. I'm feeling wildly, wildly confident at the moment, and I am just gonna freaking ride this.
So I sit there. Go ahead.
So just to like give a little explanation for this, within this three, I did this purposely. I put Jenna at 3, Laurel at 4, and Chris at 5. I think this Jenna and Sebastian thing, like, they, it's pretty common knowledge that they're dating. So I don't know why Sebastian would get rid of her. I feel like that's her in right there. And the reason that is Chris is just down at the bottom. Laurel has a connection to Wendell. Sebastian has a connection to Jenna. Those two, like, quote unquote, bottom Malolos, they have a previous connection to these other Navidis. But really just the bottom line for me is I just don't know how these people lose a challenge. It is just they are just a stacked tribe of athletes. And they actually seem to be gelling pretty well. Like, even though we got Chris like bragging to Laurel, like Laurel handled that as well as anybody could. She just smiled and nodded and maybe asked two questions, but she kind of didn't need to because Chris was just like going on. It was, I don't know. I think they have like a really strong tribe chemistry, and luckily I only have to do this once. So I'm sticking with it.
Yeah. Well, I think like, I agree with you. They're stacked, right? And they're doing great. And Laurel's amazing, and she handles.
Laurel's fantastic.
Yeah, and I think that's why I have her so high. I just think her personality, her smile. She's got a great smile. I think that she's going to go very deep in this game. Chris is. I really think that every day that they're with him, he's going to, like, it's just starting to show now. But every day that they go longer dealing with him, he's going to grow on. What's the word I'm looking for? They're going to get more and more frustrated with him.
Oh, yeah.
It's already starting to show. And so I give you a lot of credit to put him that high. I think he's gone in the next week or so. You know,
he's gone the first travel counseling goes to.
Yes.
He doesn't go. The one thing with Chris is, what if like the next challenge is like blindfold, stand on your head, do whatever, puzzle with like your toes? Who the hell knows? Because at this point, it's not about strength. And this green tribe does somehow lose. Chris is gone. So to put him at five, just like, wow, like you're really
putting I'm going all in.
Wow, this challenge is going to be more physical based.
It's not all about physical. Because I feel like Laurel's pretty decent at puzzles. Wendell has shown that like he can act in the clutch. Like there was nothing physical that Wendell had to do in this last challenge. He just had to like not scream at the puzzle people. And he came from behind. Like he had every reason to be losing his mind. So no, to me, it's not just a physical thing. They're stacked in terms of survivor challenges, not just like being athletes.
Yeah, I mean,
talking about that challenge, it just popped in my head. Like Desiree was yelling and screaming. I'm amazed that she didn't. I mean, I'm sure she rubbed people the wrong way, but that's the kind of stuff that gets you in trouble too. But you know, she was definitely on the side of the numbers, so it worked out for her. But you got to be very careful at those challenges. Just speaking from a you know, because we did a blindfold challenge. I actually didn't. I sat on the side with Hannah. But she, those are very stressful. People can't see. They start yelling. You know, somebody bumps into something or they can't hear you. They're yelling back. It's they're pretty fun to watch. And of course, you don't get to see it all. But so I think if she didn't have the numbers, the way she kind of handled herself, she could have found herself going home. But
those blindfold challenges look like a hot mess.
Oh, they really are. And people get, you know, the people out there blindfolded immediately start to get very frustrated. It's hot. The sun's beating down you. You're trying to listen to these fools tell you which way to go. And, you know, of course, people aren't professionals at it. It's not so, you know, they don't know what they're doing either. So, but it's just, it's amazing to watch. It can be extremely frustrating. And I thought that Desiree was kind of being a little tough on people. So I figured watching this, ooh, she could be really hurting herself. But, you know, she ended up on the right side of the numbers. So, but she should definitely watch that in the future, you know.
I think what ended up working for her is that it was so late in the game that this challenge happened. So it doesn't matter. She's already made her alliances and everything. If this happens on day six, she's in a lot of trouble if she's screaming like that. But because it was late enough and she's with Kellen, I think that it was fine for her because at that point it's like, well, we're not going to vote you out just because you lost us the challenge. This just gives us an opportunity to vote out another Malolo.
No, I agree with you. But, you know, every three days, things change, you know, cracks open. So she needs to reel it in. And she actually, it's interesting. She said that. That was one of the reasons originally I had her as first boot because she said that she's very vocal and very opinionated and stuff in her, you know, interview. So, but we'll see. We'll see. She's hanging in there. So good for her.
Yeah. Brett, who do you have it for?
I have Jenna at four also.
Okay.
There you go.
I think Jenna's doing, moving in with Seb was a great idea. I really do. I think that that's going to help her get very far in the game. I think she's unassuming. I think that she's, I think especially the individual game, she's going to do really well.
Yeah. By having Seb now, she has that shield. Like we were just saying with Kellen. I mean, now Kellen and Jenna are in very good spots because even though Seb's not like a big strategic threat, just him being there and being as big and physical as he is makes Jenna look, you know, weak in comparison almost. My four, I have Donovan. And the reason I have Donovan this high is because if you look at the tribe he's on, Dominic, Libby, who is the second coming of you know, Jesus Christ herself, Parvati. I mean, it's insane how they're talking about like Libby. She is the ultimate devil. She's the best strategic player. She's everything. And it's like we've seen three confessionals from her all in one episode. Like, what is going on here? So we have Libby. We have Chelsea, who the biggest thing she's done is drink coffee so far.
Hey, she cried while drinking coffee.
She did cry. And then we have Bradley. So what I sit here and say is, like, in what world does Donovan go home? If the Malolos wanted – or if the Navidis want to take out a Malolo, it's bye-bye Libby. And if the – Navidis want to take out one of their own, it's either Bradley, it's Dominic, or it's Chelsea. It could be any of them. But it can't ever fall to Donovan. Oh, I like it. What do you guys think? Anything?
Someone say something.
Yeah. Do you want me to go?
Yeah, you take it, Brad.
Okay. I like Donovan. Like, I really did. I love this character. I love that they need subtitles for him. I think that's hysterical. But I think, you know, he's... Again, after the merge, it's going to, you know, he's less threatening, but I don't know. I feel like he could. I have him at 8, and I feel bad about that. But I don't see him. You know, I'm worried about him. Do you know what I mean? He's kind of like, 1 minute, you know, he's with this crew, he's with Laurel and all that, and then Chris talks to him, and he's kind of like, well, I kind of like Chris. So that flip flopping's got me a little nervous. So that could hurt him, but I really don't know. I really don't know, because again, he could go. He's a guy that could go really far because he's very unassuming after the merge, you know. But we'll see, you know.
Yeah, I feel like with Donovan, he's not going to win the game, but he's going to go far enough that, like, this week when we're coming into the merge and he's on a tribe that there's clear turmoil and, like, bigger targets than him, why is it going to be him this week? So that's what I like about that. And then at 5, I have Laurel. I know you guys have got – or, Brett, you've gushed over Laurel here. Laurel's surprised me a lot. I wasn't huge on Laurel preseason. I thought that she was a fan, but it also seemed like what she was talking about – it almost seemed like she wasn't going to play the social game the right way. And actually, the social game has been the strongest part of her game so far. And I'm all in on Laurel's social game. So I have Laurel at 5 and Jenna at 6. So I just kind of had to go, you know, a couple times there because we've talked about all those people. So I get those two out of the way. And then Brett, you know, you can – or Brett and Alexa, you guys can catch up to me now.
Yeah, what number are we at?
Brett, you're at 5.
Okay, so – everybody buckle down, settle down.
Buckle it up.
Don't freak out when I say this, but I have Dominic at 5, my boy.
Hey, I got him close. I got him close by there.
Okay, all right, because I think a lot of people are looking at this Chris-Dominic feud, and they're like, this is – and we all know this is coming to a head. I don't know when, but it's definitely coming to a head. And I think that – I believe that Dominic is making personal relationships that are going to get him very far in the game. And I think, you know, I just see him doing a lot better than Chris. So I also think he's, you know, he's a scrapper. He's not one to lay down and let things happen. I was a little worried with all this fake idol stuff and real idol stuff. But now, you know, he's got the advantage. He's got the idol. And I have a lot of faith in Dominic right now.
Yeah, and I'll say with Dominic right now, him having the legacy advantage at 13, if he survives this vote, which I think he will, no problem, because I do think it's going to be Libby or Bradley if they were to lose. But if Dominic survives this vote at 13, once the merge hit, he plays that legacy advantage because why not? Because right. The only other time you can play it is 6, and he has an idol in his pocket. So at a merge where people have played with so many different people and you really don't know what's going on and who's aligned with who – you might as well just play it to ensure that the person you want to go out ends up going out, which would be Chris. So I think that you're right. Dominic's probably safe this week. It's going to be that merge episode where the Dominic-Chris thing finally comes to a head, and why not play the legacy advantage there? Because you don't know if you'll be there in 7 weeks if you don't play.
Yeah. And I think that once after the merge, there's going to be idols. And all, I mean, I don't know. It seems like every time – I mean, I was thinking there was going to be, like, so many idols and stuff, but every time people go to Ghost Island, they don't get a game, so – we'll see. What did you guys think about, and this has been talked about a lot, and I've been very vocal about it. What did you think about when Stephanie went to Ghost Island, there was no game for her after Kellen had gone and turned it down?
I didn't like it, and I didn't get it.
I've never thought of it in the context of because Kellen turned it down. I never thought of it that way.
Well, but wouldn't that be more fun to watch? Like, if Kellen goes and says, you know, I don't want to give up, which I think was, in this game of idols and stuff, I think it was foolish not to. I mean, I guess she had the numbers. She didn't want to give it up. I get it. And all worked out for her. So maybe I'm. But, like, okay, so when Stephanie goes, now she's down on the numbers. What a perfect time to give her what Kellen had given up so that maybe, you know, she could, you know, could be the ghost of Kellen's past. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it would have played good TV, but. No, maybe I'm not the producer, so whatever.
It would have been cool because Phil and I had like a really long talk about it when we recapped the episode on Wednesday about how we're feeling about Ghost Island, and I kind of like that idea when somebody rejects. It's not like if I get the no game, go home, like whatever. But if I reject it and then the next day Phil comes, Phil gets a chance at what I didn't do. That's I kind of like that. That gives a little continuity.
Yeah.
Yeah, because what is that advantage that Kellen didn't take? Is that just gone forever now? Like, well, we'll never see that. It's just like, what was forever it? Gone. Like, you we'll know, never know.
It could be under my chair. We don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would give that a look real quick.
Yeah.
All right, sorry. Didn't mean to get off the beat path, but
No, it makes total sense. No.
Well, I get Dominic at number six, so I guess I can like keep like falling through on that. I'm with you, Brett. I think Dominic's in a really good spot. Like he, unlike Chris, I feel like his connections to people are actually personal. I think everyone actually really likes Dominic. And like Phil said, this guy's got an idol. He's got an advantage. And he's on a tribe with the second coming of Parvati. He's on a tribe with Bradley, who's a very strong personality. He's on a tribe with Donathan, who we see in some sense, whether it's something or whether it's nothing, getting into a spat with, I assume, Bradley. And then who else? And then there's Chelsea. And he and Chelsea, I bet, are fairly close. He comforted her when she cried about coffee. So I think he's in a good spot. He's in like a quote unquote leadership position, but certainly doesn't seem like it. And I think doesn't necessarily want to, or he's not really running with it. He's just in a very naturally good spot on this tribe.
Yeah. No, and I like Dominic's position. I'm a little bit lower just because he's so loud, but I do like his position. And for him to go now, when they play
out, Philip.
Yeah, that's true. But for him to go now, when this whole Chris Dominic thing has been played up like to the extreme, it's been like the main storyline of the season. And for him to go now before they actually get to butt heads again, that would be like, oh man, like guys, you could have given us more screen time of like anybody else in the game then if they weren't actually going to be a reason that either of them went home. So I agree with you guys that they're sticking around. I'm going to do my seven. We already know Brett's seven and eight. We don't know your six yet, but I want to do my seven real quick because you did the whole buckle down thing for Dominic and then that didn't work. So I'm going to do my buckle down now. I have Desiree at seven, and I know last week she should have went home, but there is never a situation where Kellen votes for Desiree. Last week proved that. She got rid of James because she's not voting out Desiree. They're way tighter than we've been seeing because they really haven't shown much of Desiree. But now that they're on that small tribe, and I think that tribe loses again this week most likely, but I think that Kellen and Desiree never vote for each other. So if they lose, Angela or Michael go home. And I don't think Angela and Michael have any type of relationship that they could actually push a tie, because I think that if they did have a really strong relationship, they would have probably just teamed up with James last week and got rid of Kellen or Desiree. So I think Desiree is absolutely solid right now. And for as much trouble as she was in last week, she's going to hit the merge and she could really fly at the merge, because who's looking at Desiree as, oh man, Desiree's going to win this game. Let's get rid of her immediately.
Yeah, I mean, I think you bring up a great point here. That tribe is definitely losing next week. And I think Angela really kind of hurt herself, because if they lose next week and they don't know when the merge, you know, they probably say, well, they might be stuck there two more votes. They're not voting Michael, right? I mean, he's definitely – I feel like he's much tighter with Kellen now, just from that last vote.
Yeah.
So who's the next to go? If Kellen's close with Desiree, right, and we think Michael's close, then Angela's next to go. So Angela might have only, you know, she had a chance to change her game last week. She didn't do it, and she might have actually signed her walking papers, you know.
I really think she did.
Exactly. Or even if they win next week, they might not win the following week. So I think she definitely, yeah, signed. I think she's done, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I have her very low here.
Yeah.
As well. So.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if you look at that tribe, those four, I know we're being played up that, you know, Dom and Bradley are going to be fighting this week, but that seems like a red herring, and there's no way Green's losing, as Alexa put her top five as Green. So I just think, like, Angela's the only person, and Angela wasn't at the tribal councils that Michael was at that he survived. And I think that even though Michael was always kind of near the chopping block, he still had to go to those tribals with Kellen and Desiree, and he can prove himself there. Angela's never actually proved herself to Kellen and Desiree. Yeah, last week she voted with them, but was that like a she's four vote? Like, I don't think that it was like because you're tight with us vote. And I think Michael's kind of getting to that point where it's like he could have really pulled the rug out from under Kellen last week if he really pushed Angela. I think that he probably could have done it, but I don't think he did. I think he was okay with James going home, and that's just something we didn't see in this edit. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think they were very close. That's just what I can tell from.
I mean, to James's point, James was like, Michael wrote my name down before. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was sort of they were allied by necessity. And based on what I've read, and Phil, you briefly mentioned this earlier, I bet the way that the vote went down was after they lost that immunity challenge, Michael went up to Callum and he was like, hey, I'm going James, just so you know. So I think we were led to believe it was this whole like, what's Angela going to do? But I think in reality, it was never really going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, once someone puts your name down, you really kind of have to watch them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's very easy for Kellen Desiree to sell to Michael. Hey, listen, we're going to keep you around, but we need to get rid of him. I think that, you know, for Michael's long game, maybe he saw something in James, he was worried about. So I think, you know, yeah, the writing was on the wall for him the minute he went to that tribe, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right, who do you have at six, Brett?
I have Libby at six.
Wow.
And,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
The new Parvati.
I do.
I am running with that kinda, forever.
Yeah, I know. It sounds crazy. I just think that's precisely on her edit. I think that she's going to go far, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that she goes out around six.
Which is hilarious because Vaughn, one of the other guys who like comes on every now and then, he texted us, he does the eliminator game with us, and he goes, Libby, for my eliminator, she's getting sixth place. Like, it's so funny. Like, that's exactly what you just said. It's like before the season started, I said, Libby is your 4-6. I think that was like my exact quote. I need to go back and look. But she's always had that vibe, and now after watching it, she still has that vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she definitely has the and I like her. I mean, I kind of like her. So I'm interested to see, but I see her around six.
Yeah, but not really fifth. She's not getting a fifth place at it, you know?
No.
No,
that would be insane.
I mean, I should still be lucky to get sixth, but I mean, I still think that she hangs in there, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. So, Alexa, you're the one who's now behind because we know that Brett jumped ahead and did seven, Kellen, eight, Donathan. So, Alexa, you're now behind.
Sorry.
No, it's fine.
I'm on vacation. Sunday gets mad all the time. She's not that sweet thing everyone thinks she is. I'll tell you.
I know. I could see the anger in your eyes.
I didn't vote her out because I was terrified of her.
That's all it was, right?
What was that? I forget what it was. We suggested to Sunday
the
that
mighty
someone...
hand of God coming down.
I forget who it was, but we had suggested to Sunday, I think it was Michael or Brendan, that somebody was in a really good place, and she just shot us down. We were like, oh my God, like Sunday's going to freaking rage on us.
You know,
it was
Sunday,
awesome.
Sunday got a horrible edit out there. That girl played her heart out. She was involved with lots of decisions. Mm-hmm. She was instrumental in going back and forth and talking to people and playing both sides. She was instrumental in my game. I couldn't have gotten as far as I got without Sunday. So she got very little credit out there, and she did an amazing job. And I hope that she gets another chance someday, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And she knows her Survivor stuff. She also put Michael ridiculously high when we were saying she was crazy. She put him at two. And she tweeted us afterwards and said, my boy Michael survives again. And like, it was really funny. Like,
it was awesome.
You guys are high.
Yeah,
on this
you know, I really just, you know, it's a game where you need to talk to people. You have to be able to convince people. And I think this kid shockingly has at 18 has the chops to do it, you know?
Yeah, so. He really does.
Yeah,
he really does.
He's something.
All right, Alexa, who's your seven?
All right, I'm gonna go up to eight because everyone has had their seatbelt moment, and now I'm gonna have my buckle up, we're gonna start driving fast kind of moment. So for seven, I go Kellen. Not that, you know, I think Kellen, I have her a little lower because I feel like that tribe might go to tribal council, and when there's, you know, four people, there's just not much wiggle room. I think her and Des are gonna be fine. I don't think there's too much. I mean, from what I read, there was a lot more strife between them in the challenge than what we were shown. But I think that group is just so granite solid that there's nothing breaking them. So I think Kellen's in a good spot. But for eight, I go with Chelsea. I do not know why Chelsea would go home next week. I know absolutely nothing about her, except there's something in that coffee that's just making everyone cry. But like you said, Phil, why should Donathan go home in that group? Why should Chelsea go home in that group? Donathan, who's fighting in the preview? Is it Donathan and Bradley or Donathan and Dominic? I don't know. Someone, there's fighting going on in the preview. There's Dominic is, you know, he would save Chelsea. Bradley's not going to vote out Chelsea. I just really don't know why Chelsea would go home. But he seemed to have like a neutral to positive view of her. And, there's just no, there's no threat level for Chelsea. So why do you get rid of her in the pre-merge when there's no threat level for her? I just don't understand why she would go home. So I got Chelsea red number 8 for me.
I have her 8 too. So sorry, but I jump in on you there. I have her 8. I think that Chelsea, I can't believe I'm saying this, but Chelsea's making the merge and like she's going to end up getting idled out, I think, and that's why we've seen like nothing of her. I think that something's going to happen, or she's going to be like the Will Sunday episode. Like they had him on as Rashawn X, where they had to do a double boot, and she's maybe the front end of a double boot or something like that, where it's more about her boot episode is more about progressing the winner storyline than really about them getting booted, which is exactly what happened to Sunday and Will. Mm-hmm. I think that's why Chelsea is getting like a smaller edit. I mean, I also think that she was even saying she was just destroyed and dead up until last week. She was like nothing. She gets the coffee, whatever. It makes her feel like she's at home. And you can even tell in that confessional, it was more lively than the other talking she had done on the show.
I think they're starving.
Brett's got something to say here.
That scene made me sick. She's crying. That's she got coffee. She's crying. I'm like, what the hell? Like, we never even had coffee out there. I should be crying because I didn't have coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
How do you feel about two people on the season have cried about coffee? We had Donathan was crying about was like coffee and pastries too. What is it about coffee? I don't get it.
I don't know. Who the hell? Like just enjoy it. You didn't see me go. You didn't see, like, I won 4 rewards, right? I'm out there drinking and jumping in pools. You didn't get see me come up and go, Oh my god, I'm having beers. I'm so excited, I'm having beers. Give me a break. Just enjoy your shit and move on. You know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna
go jump in the pool, have some.
When Sunday was on last week, though, she did say that during that one where you were jumping in the pool, you were crying a little bit. She said she never seen somebody so happy.
She lies.
Oh, you heard her. Oh, I don't know.
That's funny. Yeah, we need
some wild rumors.
My biggest problem right now, Brett, with this cast that's left is that none of them seem like they're going to have Brett LaBelle type rewards. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm excited.
No, you know, none of these people are going to drink like that till the finale when I get there and show them how to drink. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. No, exactly.
Dominic could be. Dominic could be if he gets one.
I feel like he could hold his beer.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm trying to think who else.
We're going to have to start making like a Michael separate power
drink.
Rankings.
They're not going to let Michael drink.
I know. I know.
Yeah.
You didn't have to go to the after
party. Wow, yeah. Phil, we are on the same wavelength.
Anyway, I get off on that scene. I'm sorry. So.
No, it's fine. I have Dominic at 9. You guys already talked about Dominic. I still think Dominic is fine. Really up until him, I don't really think any of these people are going home. I just put him a little bit lower in case something crazy happens. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, Bradley's gotten rid of Brendan. He's gotten rid of Stephanie Johnson. And now he would go and get rid of Dominic. Like, that would just be like, my God, this guy's like he's just killing off every good edit on this season. So that's why maybe I put Dominic a little bit lower, just because maybe Bradley just goes on to Boston Rob this thing and just actually does run it the entire time as the villain, knowing he's the villain, and just wins it. And we just have to sit here and take it. So, no, yeah, Brett, that's what I'm thinking too. But, you know, hey, you got to give all these alternatives just in case.
Yeah. I thought he was just a fratty bro. Yeah,
that was the funniest.
That's not going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, hold on one second. I got to put my power cord in. I like Bradley. I think that he's made a lot of mistakes that are going to really hurt him in the long game. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
But anyway, we'll see. You could be right. You never know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who either won at 9? Anybody? Whoever wants to go?
Go ahead, Brad.
I have Seb.
Wow. Sebastian. There it is.
Seb. He likes to be called Seb when he's smoking. Yeah.
Seabass.
On the beach. Stony Bolognese and all that stuff. But Seb. I have Seb. And I like Seb. I really do. I've actually met him. And I like him. But I think that that whole bro thing is going to scare everybody. His, you know, the kid's, unassuming. And I think he's going to start to terrify people in the swimming challenges and stuff like that. So, and, you know, he's a fisherman, so that could keep him, you know. But I don't think – are we seeing a lot of his expert fisherman stuff?
We should
a little bit of none of it.
Yeah.
Because Jeff said that he could be the best fisherman that Survivor's ever seen. So I think what he should be doing is fishing and bringing in octopus and everything, because that's something that really helps you. I mean, that definitely helped Ken. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it definitely helps to keep you around when you can produce serious amounts of food, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm assuming it's happening, because another thing they really hyped up this season was that they're getting half the rice that they usually get. So I assumed between that and then at this point, like every camp has like a shelter building kit and like a fishing gear. Like everyone started with a lot. Then there was that weird challenge at the beginning. So I assumed that was going to be like at least have a couple scenes, but we really haven't seen any of that so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you know, and I think that, you know, I might have to rethink him, because if he is doing that kind of fishing, I would put him up a little higher. But for right now, that's where I got him. So.
All right. Alexa, who you got at 9?
At 9, I got Dez, which I guess is pretty low. That mostly is a result of, you know, they very well could go to tribal council. And now I'm going to play devil's advocate on myself, because I just said, like, oh, Kellen's in a good spot because she and Dez, like, even though they had their differences in the challenge, they're still super tight. I think maybe that challenge could have affected them, like Brett said. Like, if you make a mistake on the show, people aren't going to forget it. Like, people really aren't going to. And I think Dez really, she said before the challenge, I think James said this in an exit interview, she wanted to be put in the leadership position. She wanted to put herself out there. She knew the risk that she was taking. And I think she knew that she blew it. So if Kellen and Michael are as close as we're starting to figure out, then maybe you just keep Angela because she'll vote with you and you get rid of Dez. I don't know. I'm just really unsure, because every time that we as a viewer have spoken one-on-one to Dez, it's only just been about like, oh, I'm tight with my tribe, I'm tight with this, like, it's all good. I don't really know where she stands past that, and I really don't know who personally she's close with other than apparently Chelsea. So I'm just really unsure of where she stands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Alex, I think you touched on some great things here. Like, I have Dez really low here at like 12, right? And I think that you nailed something there when you said that. Not that I shouldn't have jumped ahead. I apologize.
No, it's totally fine.
Not do it.
We don't mind.
You know, people get, listen, when you're out there and they're out there for 17. Now we're going on what, 20 days? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is when people get very annoyed easily, very easily. I mean, you've walked on all the eggshells. The eggshells are broken. True personalities are starting to come out. You're tired. You're hungry. And when someone starts screaming at you like that, that is in the back of your head. Mm-hmm. I don't care who you are. I don't care how nicey-nicey you are after. You're never forgetting that. If somebody annoyed you like that, yelling and screaming at you and whatever. So that is definitely in the back of people's minds. And I believe that, you know, she's put herself in a really bad position with that. And, you know, we'll see. But I think that because she's tucked in with Kellen, that's going to help her. But I don't know, man. I think that more people are annoyed with her than are letting on right now, you know?
Mm-hmm. I just think the one thing that she benefits from is that right now it seems like Kellen, Bradley, that group, they're playing the game for keep as many numbers as possible. And Dez is a definite number on their side. She's dead. Like, Angela, I don't feel like is a definite number on their side. Dez is. And I think that's why I had Dez so much higher, is just because there's no situation where Kellen can feel that Angela is more loyal to her than Desiree is. Like, I just don't see it. Desiree's voted with her every time they've gone to tribal.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But Michael's smart. And if he's smart,
well, Michael's great.
Grab onto Angela, you know, I think if Michael grabs onto Angela, you know, who knows? So
yeah, well, I got Michael at 10. I think Michael, he talking about somebody who's like been dealt like the worst cards out here. He starts off on the weaker tribe, loses the first two tribals. He's in the minority. It seemed like, at least from what we were seeing, it looked like he was with Brandon, Libby, and that was like really it. I mean, it didn't look like they had much going on. And then he swaps to a tribe that he didn't get to swap. He's probably looking at this going, oh my God, if I would have swapped to the other side, they would have voted out a Navidi and the Navitis were fighting the whole time, and I would have been sitting here pretty with all my alliance still intact. Instead, he goes to the tribe that loses, and they're unbreakable. And it's, we've got to get rid of Brandon, we got to get rid of Steffi. They're getting rid of the threats to win the game immediately. And Michael, I think it was his time to go when he played the James Idol, and I think that scared the crap out of everybody. And so then he plays the Idol, you know, and they don't want to vote for him because they're like, well, what if he just plays it for himself? And then after that one, it was like, well, we'll get rid of Steffi Johnson here because Michael's trying to prove loyalty. Last week, even, it was like, could Michael possibly go? And he proves the loyalty again. He's gone to so many tribal councils already, and yet he keeps finding a way to survive. And I feel like there's something that comes with that. Once you keep going to these tribals, you start to figure it out. Like, look at what Chrissy and Ryan were able to do last year. They went to so many tribal councils, they got all the way to the final three. And yeah, Ben wins the game, but Chrissy and Ryan started to figure out how to just survive a tribal council. So
yeah, no, it's definitely a learning curve, and I think the kid's doing a great job, and we're going to see. I mean, and don't forget, we get a lot more idols supposedly going to be in play. So
yeah. Allegedly,
anything could really happen, and I think, you know, if I was him, I'd be looking at who can I get on my side. And I'll tell you, with Desiree, you know, yelling and screaming and making people angry, it's only going to help his game. You know, so yeah. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, Alexa, who do you have at 10?
I have Michael at 10 also. I think you bring up a good point. I know that's low overall, but I guess recently for Michael, that's kind of high based on where I've put him. I think when it comes to the Michael versus Angela, because I think if they go to Tribal Council now, that's the matchup that they're going to play up. The thing is, yes, Angela voted with Callan and Dez. Yes, Angela is an original Navidi, and we are all just bleeding Navidi purple all over Fiji. But Michael has voted with Callan, like you just said. Michael's voted with them. He's voted. He's proven that he will vote out his own alliance members to stay in the game. And I think, like you said, Phil, he's saying, look, I'm holding up to my half of the bargain. I told you guys I'd be loyal to you, and here I am being loyal to you. This was the first time that Angela has voted with Callan and Dez, or really, I mean, this was only Angela's second tribal council, and the first one, she was like, what is even happening to me? So I think Michael just has more staying power just because he's voted with Callan and Dez before. And I think going to tribal councils creates a relationship that is way stronger than just saying like, oh yeah, we're allies for when we go to tribal council. I think actually going through it and surviving it together, I think that brings you quite a long way.
Well, and that's what I was like, I think that's a great point. That's what I was going to say to Brett. Brett, like, you can speak to that because you went to tribals with these people. It's once you actually go to the tribal that you're like, okay, that's actually my alliance, right? Like, before that, it's still kind of like, is that working?
I mean, listen, you know, there's times when everything's in the air. It's just, you know, like, you know, you just got to kind of – everyone talks before tribal, and you think that you know what's going on. And sometimes you do, sometimes you don't, you know. And it's just it's always different, you know.
Yeah.
Am I answering what you're asking?
Kind of. I was just saying, like, because Michael's actually gone to tribal and been able to prove who he's aligned with, whereas, Angela really hasn't.
Yeah, so I see what you said. Yeah, so to Kellen and everyone, they're probably like, she's a jump ball. Is she going to vote with us? Is she not? You know? And then, now she's proven that she could be loyal to her. But I agree with Alexa. I think Alexa said it. I don't think that she is loyal. I don't think I think Angela's playing her own little game out there. And I think she could totally be swung in another direction if you could convince her, you know? Mm-hmm. And I really like Angela. She's American, you know, she's a veteran. But she's kind of just being swung around, you know. It's weird.
Yeah, it seems like she can't get her footing, and she's just like you said. She's kind of going in circles right now, and just trying to figure out where to go.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Brett, who's your 10?
Chelsea.
Okay.
And
want to hear your take on Chelsea?
Yeah, give us your piping hot Chelsea take.
Well, to be honest with you, until you just brought her up about 5 minutes ago, I forgot she was still in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I literally had to just, you saw me jotting stuff down. I readjusted my whole thing. And she's not getting the best edit. She's there. She's in it. I don't know. I just think, I don't see her. I'm not seeing anything great, you know, but I like her. I think she's, like some of her confessions have been good, and I don't know. I just think 10. 10, she's 10 to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine. That'll work. Just don't drink coffee anymore, pretty much is all Brett really has to say about Chelsea.
Yeah, the whole that thing. And I really, like, she's very sweet, and I get it. Like, I missed coffee. Mm. I don't know if I was going to cry about it, you know?
I don't know. So number 11, I actually have Bradley here. And I know that we're being played up in this preview, like him and Dom are going at each other's throats. Bradley's like, I don't know, he's still the villain of the season, and I still think that he makes the merge. I don't think his tribe loses. And I still think that because of how much Libby was talked up last week, as much as I think Libby's still like sixth place, like Brett said, if they were to lose, I feel like this would be Libby going home, not Bradley, because like it seems like Dominic is terrified of Libby. Like Libby got him once. Bradley never did. Bradley's never voted against Dominic. Libby did. Libby got rid of one of Dominic's closest allies, maybe his closest ally. I mean, Morgan wrote the legacy advantage out to Dominic. That might have been his closest ally, and Libby got rid of him. So I think that Dominic's probably more scared of Libby than Bradley just being annoying. Plus, if Bradley gets to the end, you're going to beat Bradley because he's rubbing everybody the wrong way. So what do you care? He doesn't look like somebody who's going to win a bunch of challenges. And yeah, he might be close with people on the other side, but he's close with people on the other side that are also your original tribe. So you should be okay. So I think Bradley's actually fine this week. I also don't think that tribe loses. I think this is just like a big buildup of like, hey, we got to just keep on saying Bradley's the bad guy. So I have Bradley at 11, still pulling for him to go. And Brett, I did meet him in person. He's actually a really nice guy. He doesn't like people to know that, I feel like, at this point. I think he's loving this villain role. But he's a really nice guy, and it's amazing that, like, on this season, he's being blasted for really just voting out likable people. He hasn't really done anything wrong.
Yeah, no, he's a great guy, even though he's a lawyer. He's a really good guy.
I mean, he had a hilarious – it wasn't even a confessional. I was just walking in, and I think this was, like, the like, pinnacle of people's, like, misunderstanding of him. His complaining was, like, obviously, yes, he was, like, complaining way too much on the Malolo camp. But he walks into this new Navidi camp, and he's just like, thank God we were living in squalor. And it was so, so quick. You wouldn't even count it, but it was so funny. And I was like, this is it. Like, it's just funny. Like, it's harmless. It's hilarious.
It is.
I know. It is funny that it's like
in squalor. Like, I tell you,
it wasn't the Taj Mahal where he was before.
Yeah,
and lizards and all kinds of stuff. So. But I have Bradley at 11 as well. So I agree.
Okay.
I think Bradley's days are numbered. I thought his. I didn't even have him making the merge originally.
Mm.
Only because. Yeah, you know, in his pre-stuff, he seems so arrogant. Now, knowing him and meeting him, I know that that's not the case. And it seems like I think he would be mad that we're saying this because mm-hmm. I think he does enjoy the villain role. But I think if even though he is a good guy, I think he is kind of a villain out there. You know what I mean? So I don't think, I should say that. You don't know, you're only seeing what we see. We'd really need, you know, we're not seeing the conversation. If you could see the conversations that are really going on out there, the hundreds of them, mm-hmm. you wouldn't think he was a villain either. But I just think that, you know, his comments about this place sucks. You know, the moves he's made, you know, he's been very matter of fact with people, which people do not like you to be matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
Most people. So I see him being definitely very high on the chopping block.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem for him, too, is it's who he was complaining to. He was complaining to Brendan, who is like Mr. America here. Like, look at him, like this, the dad of two and his, you know, the jaw and like the nice positive
the
guy.
The jawline.
Yeah, I just can't get over the jawline. But he is the most positive guy in the world. He's talking to Stephanie Johnson, who's the mother.
I used to have a jawline like that.
Did you, Brett?
we're gonna need to see that for research purposes.
I want a photo.
I missed. Listen, I'll throw it. I'll throw back Thursday. I'll throw it up there. No. I really liked him. That's a bummer that he's gone. But you're right. Like that was a great scene, wasn't it?
So good.
It's just, you know, and you kind of, there's a party that was like, oh, I'd love to see Brendan, like, you know, run him out of town, but it just never happened, you know?
Yeah. And based on the edit at that point, I really thought that Brendan and Stephanie were going to get the better of that Malolo or that Navidi 5. And it just didn't happen. And now there go two fan favorites right off the bat. And that's why Bradley, I think, is getting the villain edit, is because he was complaining to the two fan favorites. Then he had the audacity to vote out two people who could beat him in the game. How dare he?
Audacity, I tell you.
That's what's getting him right
now. Hey, Chris is in the group chat.
Uh-oh.
Sup, Chris? Chris Noble?
Is that actually Chris Noble?
I have no idea, but I hope so.
Yeah, you got to be careful with those. Sometimes it's not the real
thing. It's actually just me on like a different account, just like typing in.
If he stops rapping, you'll know it's actually him.
There you go.
Let's drop Busta Rhyme.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so yeah, go. I'm sorry, where were we? You guys are running this, not me. Go ahead.
No, we're going. We're loving it. Alexa, who's your 11?
So actually, if you guys are okay with that, I'm going to kill mine because it's all within context. I also have Bradley at 11. So I think we all put him in the exact same spot.
Wow.
So I go, 11?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at us. So I go Bradley 11. I go Donathan 12. I go Libby 13. And then I rounded out with an Angela at 14. I think this kind of Bradley, Donathan, Libby, we've been led to believe that there's going to be like some kind of tension in this group because the Unuya tribe is just like pumping iron over there. And then the Malolo tribe is just like, they're all dying. And this Navidi tribe, they're all just like, ooh, yeah, like we're all just going to boot each other out.
That's a poison tribe. That's a poison tribe, Malolo.
Yeah, it really just, is. It's just, it's ill. It needs a life support. And so this, we're like, you know, there's going to be this Donathan and Bradley. They're going to whatever. And then Libby is like a strategic mastermind who's just going to run show the rest of this game. There's just a lot of like unfinished storylines in this tribe. So I feel like there's a chance that they go to tribal council. And again, I don't think it's going to be Dominic or Chelsea who goes home out of that group. And then just ended up, I put Angela down at the bottom. I think I just said this a little bit earlier, but I think Michael's closer to Kellen than Angela is to Kellen. And I think this might be, this is my cautious optimism. This might be the breakdown of that original Navidi group, because that, like Phil, like you said, that group of Dez, Callan and Bradley, they're the ones who are like so super tight on this Navidi forever and ever like love triangle. But Angela wasn't a part of all those votes. Like Dominic wasn't a part of those votes. Chris wasn't a part of those votes. So Angela, I don't know how much Angela's buying into that as much as someone like Dez is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have the same 13 and 14, Libby and Angela. I have Chris at 12, just in case Green somehow loses. I think it's Chris, so that's why I put Chris there.
Chris, if you're listening, I put you up at number 5.
There you go. There you go. If that's the real Chris, this is – you guys are number 5. But yeah, I think that Libby's in danger on purple just because of what we saw last week. And in the edit, why are you going to play up like this huge feud between Libby and Dominic or something like that? When Libby's not a huge character on the season, you're going to play up Dominic versus Bradley because that's more exciting. And it's like Dominic's out of the Chris thing and now he's got Bradley. That's more fun for a viewer to see, even though Libby could still be the one who goes home. And then Angela at 14, I just think that tribe loses. They're going to burn the flag and it's going to do nothing for their juju.
Oh, the burning flag. I forgot about that.
They are going to lose that tribal. They're going to go to tribal. I mean, look at what's left of that tribe. I mean, I just don't see how they win.
Yeah, what do we got? We got Kellen, Desiree, Michael, and Angela, right?
That's it.
Yeah, that's not a challenge tribe.
Right, and that's not. I mean, I'd be shocked unless it's. I mean, who knows what Survivor has up its sleeve? But I would I would think that they're definitely going back to tribal.
Yeah, I agree. So what do
I have Angela 12. I have Chris 13. Sorry, buddy, if you're listening, but I'll explain it. So let me tell you something, Chris. I didn't say the nicest things about Chris in the beginning just because he was so arrogant on his free stuff. But he totally has grown on me, and there's a part of me that really would like to see him go far. And it's number 14, I had Desiree, because I honestly believe, you know, if they lose, which I believe they're going to, Malolo loses, Michael has to see that he's in dire straits. He has to pull an Angela. And go to rocks if he must. But if he doesn't, he's got to think Desiree, Kellen's definitely coming for him. You know what I mean? Now maybe they're working together, but I'm thinking he's got to pull an Angela. He's got to try and swing a vote his way. So that's why I have Dez going next as opposed to Angela. Now, if he doesn't and he jumps in with Kellen, I think Angela's definitely going 14. Going next, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And the whole Chris thing, me having him at 12 is strictly because of this. If they lose, I just don't see Seb and Jenna voting for each other. Maybe Laurel somehow gets a vote, but like Laurel's playing both sides so well right now, and it's not gonna be Wendell. I mean, let's be honest, Green's winning.
Wendell's with Dawn, right? So yeah. You know Wendell's already got Chris on his radar, and Laurel's voting with Wendell. So I mean, and I think you know, and Chris is a riot. He says whatever he says, and I just think I think he's gonna, you know, people are gonna swing that way, you know. And I hope he hangs in there, and I hope he gets to rap another day. You know what I mean?
Rap another day.
I'm just loving this. Chris is, if this is actually Chris, he's sitting there in the live chat. He goes, "You guys have no faith in me." And you guys are like, "Oh, he's a strong number 12. And I got him sitting up there at number 5. I am happy that I did this.
All right. Well, maybe you could go. But listen, it's not that we don't have faith in him. I mean, he's entertaining. He's funny. He's in, you know, he could swim. He can do all that. But I think the thing is, you know, we know that, the whole Dom thing is, you know, between the two of them, which I said early on, the two of them should have put that away. You know what I mean? They should. The two of them were gunning for each other so hard in the beginning, and I knew that was gonna. It's always gonna rear its ugly head at some point. You know.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, they came out hot at each other.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the power rankings there, Brett. That was much faster than Troy's end we had last week. It was
so fast.
Probably the fastest one we've had. So that's good. You know, we make it snippy.
Was it fast? Because it's I guess it was kind of fast.
We had Troy's end on here for like over 2 hours last week. The man does not stop talking. He's amazing. we love Troy. He's amazing.
Florida last year. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
He's hilarious. Just
relaxed, easy going, you know.
Good yeah, food. He is. So now what we're going to do here is we've had a great time explaining this to everybody. So Adam, what happens is, Brett, we do the eliminator game. And Adam. I'm prefacing that with Adam.
Don't worry.
I know you're not Adam.
Listen, I deal with Adam late night texts, calling me, trying to get you to come out and see him. Can we just leave Adam alone? I don't want to.
This is your podcast, Brett.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, just the kids, he's obsessed. He's just obsessed with me. I just need a break. Okay.
Well, so here's
leave him out of this, please.
We do an eliminator game every year. And Alexa, myself, and Vaughn, who comes on and does our fantasy game with us, we do this eliminator game. And we weren't going to do it with the survivors. But then when Adam came on the first one, he's like, "I want to do the eliminator game," because he had done it in the past. He's like, "I want to do it." So what we've done then is we've had every week a survivor continues to pick it, which is incredibly hard, especially in this type of game. So I know you're probably familiar with the survivor pools for football.
Yes.
Okay. So you pick one team each week and you can't pick them again. We do the same type of thing here. You're picking one person you do not think will go home. But the problem is, as you pick the people, they also get voted out. So your pool is dwindling very quickly.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So right now we have lost, or the survivors have used Sebastian, James, Libby, Laurel, and Donovan. So you're still in it, but none of those people have gone home. So you're really not, you don't have many left in the bank here moving forward. But so Brett, who do you want to take for this week? Who's your person who's not going home?
So I can't say Michael.
You can take Michael.
You're welcome, Tim.
Now that's a ballsy move because I think they're going to lose and he's going to be up for. That'll be a 1-4 shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I can pick anybody, right?
You can pick anybody
except for those five.
Yeah. So, well, James actually did go home, so that was a good one. So actually,
out of those four.
Yeah. So it's Sebastian, Libby, Laurel, and Donathan that you can't take.
Oh, okay. All right. So I'm going to say Wendell is definitely not going home.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
Is that good? Can I do that?
That works. That works. Absolutely. I'm already out of it, Brett, just so you know. I took Stephanie Johnson the week Stephanie Johnson went home. So this is terrible. But Vaughn took Libby, so Vaughn's still cruising. And Alexa, who are you taking this week?
I was talking to Phil before we went live. I was between Dez and someone else. I was between Dez and Angela. I'm going to roll with Dez. I think Dez is hopefully safe from going home this week, because I am notoriously horrible at this game, and right now I'm doing exceptionally well by my standards, so I gotta keep rolling with that.
Yeah, what the hell? Ride it out. Ride the wave, just like Seb would. You know what
ride
I mean?
The wave, just like Seb would. Gotta ride that wave.
There you go. All right, so that's it.
How did I do my first power ranking?
Crushed.
I think you did great. You went right through. I mean, you had it written down and everything. You were ready to go. I mean,
Millennials well, I had to redo it because I forgot all about poor Chelsea. You know what I mean? So I had to redo it while you guys were talking. You know what I mean? So,
hey, we didn't even notice. We didn't hear the pen moving at all.
No, this is a lot of fun. We'll have to do it again. And now that I like totally know the process, I'm going to crush it next time. But I think I did pretty good. I'm pretty happy with these numbers here. You know?
Yeah. And we're always glad to have you on. We've been talking about doing this for a long time, saying we're going to get survivors on to do the power rankings with us. And we just never did it in any of the previous seasons. And now this season, it was like, can we get interest? And it seems like everybody's had fun with it. I mean, maybe they're just, you know, blowing smoke, but you guys seem like you're having fun. And Brett, it was great to have you on. I can't believe you took time out of a vacation to come and talk to us, but you know,
Well, I got my buddy's a drunk and he sleeps in late. So, but there I will say the last time I was on with you guys was right after Millennials vs. Gen X, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was it. Yeah. And it was me and Will.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. And I think we went late. It was late at night and I had a nice buzz on. So I was like, oh my God, I hope I didn't make a complete fool out of myself. But that was a good time. We had a nice little chat there. So I'd like, call me again. I'd be up for doing another one or something else or whatever, you know. So
absolutely,
awesome. Yeah, we'd love to have you back.
Yeah,
that was Will. I saw him at the finale show too.
I know he was there. Will's doing good. Will's loving it. I know for an update on Will, everybody. Will is doing great.
Doing well.
Yeah, Will's living the Survivor dream right now. I think he said
the dream team's a lot of fun.
It is. Yeah. He seems like he's having like the time of his life. So, you know,
and John Kerhoffer is one of the nicest. Kerhoffer is one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet too. Like tremendous, tremendous guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Absolutely. I mean, I was shocked. I really was. not just because of how nice he was. Like you assume everybody's gonna be like at least somewhat of a nice person, but John Kerhoffer's he's something else. He really is.
Was he at that finale party?
I don't know if he was. Okay. We had met him at an event that they did out here in LA. That's where met him.
The guy is just the friendliest, nicest person.
He is.
I mean, like this guy is so high up on the production thing. You'd think he would be arrogant and everything, but he can't be nicer. His wife's one of the helpers that comes out there. Her girlfriend, I can't remember if they're married or not, but she cannot be nicer. I used to have coffee with her every morning in Fiji. She's like. We're in the pregame, and she was just very sweet. So really nice people. And that's one thing Survivor is amazing with the whole crew and everyone. They're just really good people. It's a lot of fun.
Well, now we have to call up Kierhofer's wife or girlfriend and ask her if you were crying every time you drank the coffee.
Emotional was Brett getting during that coffee.
I should be giving out all this crazy stuff. But no, she was wonderful, and we never cried. We just talked, had nice conversations.
We never cried.
I was always up early. I'm an early riser. And we had a great time out there. So,
all right,
you wouldn't see me crying over a cup of coffee. In fact, I'm going to go have another one right now, and I'm not going to cry.
If you do cry, make sure to send us a picture.
Yeah, that's what we need. That's what we need.
And send us a jawline picture. I got to see that.
I'll write a new rap for Chris. You know. You know what I mean?
There we go. So we got Brendan. We got
80s style rap. You know what I mean?
Here we go.
Oh yeah.
That kid isn't he growing on you though? Like every time I just start laughing when he's on the.
That rap was the most absurd thing I've ever watched.
No, and seriously though, Brett.
Mic drop was my favorite. Boom. I used to watch it three times. I was like, did he just say mic drop?
Yeah.
I mean, he's definitely a character. He's definitely good for TV. So I do hope he hangs in there.
Great TV.
Yeah, he really is. He's fantastic TV, and he's super fun to watch. So, no, absolutely. Before the season started, Alexa and I did not pick him. Vaughn didn't pick him for our fantasy teams, and he went on to the Joe Mena Ghost Tribe. And Joe is trolling us so hard because we just threw these two. We threw Angela and Chris at Joe and said, that's your tribe. And they're both still in it, and he's trolling us so hard. He's like, look Joe, at me, Joe, I'm killing it.
Joe's not the guy you want to
– Vaughn purposely chose him to be the guy.
Joe's a good guy too, man. He come off. He had a great edit on the show, but he when you meet him, he's a tremendous dude. You know,
he really is. Mm-hmm. He really is. But Alexa, you want to close this thing out? We can wrap this.
All right. Oh my gosh, I am not mentally prepared to wrap this. I might need a couple cups of coffee before I do that one.
Wrap it up. Yeah, get some coffee. Get the tears flowing.
I'm gonna start getting real emotional. So this week Wendell won the MVP, Angela lost the LVP. So Joe, your team has taken a hit. We were just talking about how great your team was. So I'm gonna write an MVP spotlight of Wendell that'll come out probably tomorrow night, Monday morning, Monday night. It's always whenever I get to it. We'll be posting the updated standings for all of our fantasy games on the Facebook page later this afternoon. So we'll get that up, we'll tweet it out when those are posted. And then we'll be back on Wednesday at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern for Chris rapping, Chelsea crying, Yanua crushing it. We'll be back recapping episode 7 of Survivor Ghost Island. Happy Easter and happy Passover to everyone who celebrates.
And thank you so much again to Brett.
Thank you, Brett. This was great. Happy vacation.
Hey, listen, no, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, guys. It was a lot of fun. And hope to see you soon.
Yeah.